Just make sure I'm recording. Great. Well, it's Wednesday afternoon. It's about lunchtime, and I'm in this studio a lot earlier than I usually am, so I'm feeling a bit disorientated. But hopefully, if I push this button here, via the wonders of 21st century technology, at the other end of this piece of telephonic wizardry should be Martha Wainwright. Martha, are you there?
I'm here.
Splendid.
I've arrived.
You've arrived. Well, that was one of my first questions. Where exactly are you at the moment?
I'm in London.
You're in London? Any part of fancy London? I know it well.
I'm not that far from Marble Arch.
Oh, right, okay. Probably in a very swanky hotel, I would imagine.
No, at the record company in an office behind a desk.
Well, that's nearly...
Where I actually feel very comfortable.
Oh, good. I hope you've been furnished with lots of delicacies, like, I don't know, pasties and various pastries, perhaps English dishes like sausage rolls and things.
No, I've gotten some crappy fruit from Starbucks a few days old.
Oh, right. Other fruit sellers are available. We were hoping to catch up with you yesterday, but I believe you had a bit of a sore throat. So
I did. I could hardly speak, so I think it's best that we're here today.
Great. Is fruit helping at all?
No.
Well, it's getting your vitamins anyway. Anyway, so you've been doing some dates. You're Norwich tomorrow, I believe, aren't you? And this weekend at Cambridge Folk Festival.
Cambridge Folk Festival and Big Chill Festival as well. Yeah.
And when you're finished here, you're going back overseas, and you're back with us again in the autumn, I believe, aren't you?
Absolutely, in October, yeah.
Yeah, and nearest one to us in Bradford is Manchester, so I shall be looking to get over. I don't know about anybody else. Hopefully nobody else, from my point of view, hopefully nobody else will turn up, and then I can have, like, a personal performance.
I don't know, if it were just you. Okay.
Anyway, I was about to say the new album, but it's been out for a little while. I've got a copy that's come through the post in front of me, which I would be very excited about, but you'll be pleased to know that I actually bought it with my own money back in May, so I've been listening to it extensively. My first point about it is, where on earth have you been? Because I've been waiting 3 years for your second album from your last one.
I've been on the road, and I was actually on the road a lot in England, and... And then, you know, it took about a year to make with everything, you know, with post-production and pre-production, all that kind of stuff, you know, and setting up of the album. So, I mean, it's a long expanse in some ways, but, I mean, I also take time to write songs and, you know, I was really wanted this record to be as strong, if not stronger, than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And also for the first record, I had to tour a lot. It was really the way for me to, you know, get known. And because, you know, I'm not depending on radio or pop radio, you know, to sell record units. And then that means that, you know, you got to go out and you got to play places over and over.
Mm-hmm. So do you find that writing while you're on the road is quite difficult because you've got to find time to talk to idiots like me and, you know...
I didn't write that much on the road just because I'm also very shy about writing around people. And when you're on the road, you're oftentimes around people,
mm-hmm.
especially if you're on with the band and we're on the tour bus or whatever. You know, there isn't that much time. And so, you know, because I need to be sort of behind closed doors because it's, you know, it's very based on... You know, singing in a kind of abandoned style, you know, and also really searching inward for very kind of personal stuff, and you know, it's not something that you know you can sort of do in the back of the bus with people walking in and out.
Yeah, I mean, you've got people kind of supporting you on tour, of course, with you because your husband's in the band as well.
Yeah.
Do you ever kind of throw things in front of him and say, what do you think of this? Or do you like to have a complete piece before...
I mean, generally speaking, I like to have a complete piece, although he has been very helpful sometimes when, you know, at home he might hear me, you know, playing with the melody over and over or something and, you know, I say, oh, I like that or, you know, sort of pick out things that from the other room he can sort of, you know, get interested in. And that's generally a very good indication, you know, anyone... Doing that is a good indication, and you know, helps me to sort of focus in.
Yeah, and one thing you have been doing whilst you know, in the gestation period between the two albums is dabbling around with Snow Patrol. How did that come about?
Well, that came about. Gary Lifani, the singer, wrote that song with me in mind to sing it, actually. And at first he had trouble getting in touch with me because I was like between management and all this stuff. And then finally we did connect, and he sent me the song, and I love the song. I think it's a very beautiful song. I didn't really know about Snow Patrol. You know, I didn't know the sort of scope of them. And, you know, I just love the song. And so between sound check and show in Dublin one afternoon, near the end of the making of their album, I was able to come in and quickly throw down the vocal.
Mm-hmm. So they're not a massive act across in Canada and the States, perhaps, because they're fairly ubiquitous here, but I'll be honest, they're not really my cup of tea. And that track came out as a bit of a surprise, because, well, without wanting to sound like a fawning fanboy at this point, I think it's the best thing they've done.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, well, I'm not going to say that, but I definitely like the song. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Oh, go on.
No.
Oh, right. Now, it seems fairly impossible for you to speak to journalists and ridiculous, idiotic disc jockeys like myself without them mentioning other members of your outrageously talented family. Does it ever get wearing for you that, in a way, you're kind of seen as this sort of Wainwright family brand rather than an artist with your own voice and your own direction?
I mean, it gets boring for me to talk about just because I try and, you know, come up with different things to say, because then otherwise I'm going to sound repetitive or seem repetitive. But at the same time, it's certainly a huge part of, you know, of who I am. And I think also, you know, I think it would be wrong of me to think that, you know, that I wasn't given something, you know, by my parents and a sense of music and all of those things, you know. And so, you know, I think it would be awfully selfish for me to think that, you know, I did it all by myself.
And of course, you've got these people to help you when you want, because Rufus appears on the album, and and it's produced by your mother as well.
Oh, no, not, just one song is produced by my mother. The record's produced by Brad.
Oh, beg your pardon. I was thinking it was the whole album.
No.
All right, I'll go and hit myself over the head then for that one.
Oh, don't worry about it. Don't bother. I mean, I think I'd like to do a record produced by my mom, but we might kill each other in the studio, so I don't know.
In terms of putting an album together like that, I mean, we live in an age of sort of iPods and MP3s, and it's sort of very instant gratification. Is it still the case that, you know, somebody like yourself puts together an album and looks at it as a complete package, you know, something you've worked on, you know, as a thing to put out rather than just a collection of, you know, 1 to 13 songs?
Well, you know, at first because the record has different producers on it. Brad produced a lot of it. This guy, Martin Tarefe, Brad is my husband, Brad Albetta, sorry. Yeah. Martin Tarefe and a guy called Tor Johansson, who's done in Sweden and New York and in London. And at first I was like, well, you know, the record will be eclectic and a lot of different sounds, and it's okay because people listen to, you know, they only, you know, they pick up on one song or two songs and they, you know, buy by song. And then as we were getting halfway through the thing, I realized that, you know, this is really an album, and it's really a reflection of the last couple of years of my life, and I didn't want the songs to sound different. You know, it was really important for there to be a consistency in the sound, especially with all of these different producers, and we had two different mixers. And so then it started to become really my interest to make it as a whole, even with all of these different styles of music that are on the record and variation. And I think that I, you know, did end up with sequencing and the sound of it to create, you know, an arch and a whole album, an album as a whole, where songs can stand out, but I definitely feel that it's better as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm somebody that I'm still quite old-fashioned, although we're of a similar age, that, you know, I'd like to listen to an album. I do use the shuffle kind of now and again, but I like to listen to a full piece and see it as that. I mean, talking about putting an album together, is there also, do you have sort of a weight of expectation kind of on your shoulders as well, in that, you know, it's been 3 years since the last album? And in a funny way, in the age we now live in, it's quite ironic that as I say, we have instant gratification. And yet albums are a lot longer these days, so you've got to put kind of 13 tracks together. Like, not like the Beatles, you know, Revolver, well, for example, is 33 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. That, you know, it was really important to have enough material that was good enough to be on a record, especially on a second record where perhaps, you know, bands sometimes feel pressure to get it done quickly because the record company is pressuring them. You know, and I really wanted to put something out where every song was fully realized and every song should be on an album and there wasn't that much filler. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, which is why there's, you know, I had a cover and things like that, because I just, you know, everything had to be strong enough. And so that did take time, and I recut songs a couple of times. You know, so although this record does have a lot of songs on it, or 13 songs or something, you know, I think that it's been a long time since the last one.
Mm. Yeah, you mentioned the cover there, and I was going to talk about, there's a cover of See Emily Play by Pink Floyd. Are they a big band for you, or is it just that particular track?
That was the one song that my mom did produce, and I wanted to get her on the record, and we had done that song for a Syd Barrett tribute.
Mm-hmm.
And we liked the song, and we had a little arrangement already, and it was an excuse to get her into the studio. So, you know, and I liked how it came out, so put on the record.
Mm-hmm. So it's been, as I say, there's a bit of a long period between records. Can you see that happening again with the next record? I mean, you're touring fairly extensively. Well, you have been for about, 9 months at least. And then, you're back here again in the autumn. Is it going to be the case that, you know, a year down the line, you're finally going to have to lock yourself in a room and cut out the world and come up with the next record? Or is it already in preparation?
Well, it needs to start to become in preparation, and you know, I'd like to not wait 3 years for the next one. But if it ends up being that long, then that's what ends up happening. You know, I think it's important to, you know, it's important to put records out to keep your, you know, career going and to keep you busy. But at the same time, you know, once again, I've never felt that, you know, people should put out records every year because they have to, and maybe this is coming from, you know, my mom versus my dad. I love my dad live, but I think that Kate and Anna, my mom and my aunt, made really great records, and it's because, you know, each record is really its own, you know, child almost, an incredible sort of journey. And, you know, I kind of appreciate that because I like being in the studio, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not someone who wants to make a record in a week. So, but there might be other things in between that, you know, I'm working on finding some French material, PF stuff with other stuff, and I started doing little live shows of that in New York just to try out material, and that's just a piano player and a guitar player, and that's the kind of record that you could make in a week, you know, if you knew them, you know, if you've played it live a bunch of times. There's other things.
We're big fans of French pop music on this program, so I look forward to that enormously. And okay. And why not come over and do a little gig for us in Bradford as well?
Well, maybe. Well, I'm going to be... Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Bad for a day. All right.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, if you do that, me and my wife, we'll take you out for a curry or something.
Oh, good. Sounds good. That's right.
Great. Well, anyway, listen, thanks for talking to us. It's been an absolute pleasure. Good luck with the rest of the tour, and good luck when we see you again.
Okay.
In the autumn. Just one last question. Two last questions. First of all, the title of the album, Lest We Forget. I know you're married, but I've got feelings too, and I have just revealed that I'm married, so sorry, Martha, back
so
off.
So am I.
Yeah. it's a rather extraordinary title. I assume that it's fairly tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's funny.
Yeah,
and I don't know if it's I don't know if it's completely tongue in cheek as much as it is, you know, about pushing the envelope a little bit and being a little bit provocative and sort of getting the point across of the song, you know.
Mm. And final question: we'll play the new single "You Cheated Me" a little bit later. But if you could pick one track off the first two records, one definitive track, well, not definitive, but perhaps your favourite track, which we'll play straight after this interview, what would you go for, do you think?
Well, I think it'd be fun to play something off of this record. I think that, I mean, I like them all. Play Jesus and Mary.
Jesus and Mary. I've just been listening to that this morning.
Great.
Yeah. Terrific. Well, as I say, absolute pleasure talking to you, Martha.
Okay.
Good luck with everything. And come see us, and I'll definitely take you up on that curry.
Okay. Take care. Take care.
Listen, thanks very much.
Bye.
Bye.